Hi, Steph. Welcome. We're waiting a few more minutes.
Sure thing. Gives me time to get a lot more water.
Is it hot where you are?
The heat broke last night. So it's a little bit cooler, but now it's rainy and humid. And if I'm going to talk for a while, I know I'm just going to need some lubrication, I suppose.
Hello, hello.
There.
Been a while since we've seen you all. Must be summer. I'll give it another minute before we get started.
I think I might be like the missing PO because I always have a conflict on the Monday meetings. So
Oh,
you never
that's,
see me.
yeah.
I read the
Well,
notes and listen to the recordings.
it's great that you can join us today, Steph. We all of our Thursday meetings have been otherwise occupied, so I'm glad we're able to have you here today. We have a little bit of administrative stuff. I don't think, I mean, we haven't met since I think June 30th, so it's been a little bit here. And what I do know for administrative stuff is that we are definitely not meeting the last 2 days, meeting set days in July. So the 28th and the 31st are definitely no's, and they're not on your calendar anymore. In terms of upcoming meetings, we have a tentative Monday agenda item that I need to follow up with Amelia Sutton to make sure that that will work for her. She'd wanted to talk to us about expiration dates for addresses, contact information. So I will check in and get that confirmed. Cornelia, I'm not sure about the following meetings. Well, if we have anything, or if we have conflicts, or do you want to touch base and then we can circle back? We're three meetings, I think we have.
Meetings. Yeah, we had a suggestion from David, but he's not here today, so we can't ask if he wants to do this next week. Tom has just arrived. Tom wanted to start some small group, but I've forgotten what it was about. Fees and fines, probably.
Yeah, we have, so we have the 17th is open. I am on vacation for the following 3 weeks, so I won't be here the week of the 21st to lead any discussions, but that doesn't mean you can't meet. It just means I won't be able to convene them.
I will still be here for this week, so if anyone has topics, we can meet.
Okay.
But yeah, if nothing urgent comes up, everyone can enjoy their summer as well.
Awesome. All right, well, I will confirm with Amelia and send out a note about Monday.
Okay, so I can ask David if he wants to do his topic next week,
Okay.
but I don't think it's urgent. So if many people are away, I don't know how much sense it makes.
Right, for sure. All right, any other announcements?
I might just mention that Christine Tobias is retiring soon and is still looking for people to take over the sections of documentation she's responsible for. If anyone is interested, that would be the users section, lists, and the portion of bulk edit having to deal with the users. I've actually quite enjoyed doing the documentation myself. It's a bit of work, especially keeping on track of all the new things going on, but I've enjoyed doing it, and I'd be happy to help someone who might be interested in getting involved.
Great. Thanks, Lawrence. And thanks for all your good work on that. It is a good incentive to learn about all the updates in the areas with each release. So that is, that's how I feel about Bugfest too, is it helps me learn all the new functionality. So great. Any other announcements? Okay, then I,
But
oh, go ahead.
just a question for Lawrence. Will you put this on Slack also, or would you add the areas Christine was responsible for to the to today's meeting notes?
So I can do that, and I'll mention it in the OA Slack channel too.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Well, then I will hand it over to Steph to talk about requests for multi-volume series and continuing resources.
Thank you, thank you. I'm going to share hopefully the right screen. Are you seeing a Chrome, Google slide deck kind of a thing?
Yep.
Great. Thank you for the thumbs up. So before I dive into this, I want to acknowledge that the thinking and conversations around this were not done in a vacuum. There were several people who really helped to shape this from when it was a feature specifically for title level requesting all the way up to now. Brooks and Tom and Tim Auger and a lot of the RA SIG were very active in this, which is very appreciated because, as you know, requesting is so not straightforward. So this is an epic that we'll be talking through. I will touch on the feature that we're currently trying to plan for and get some architecture ready for. But I wanted to give an update on how the thinking about requesting for serials and all of the multi-part everythings has evolved. So, it did begin as a feature for title level requests, but the more we talked about it, it really became clear that we want to use title level request functionality, but it's really requesting. It's not specific to title level requesting. It actually will be item level requesting. So we wanted to clarify and make sure that from the get-go, we're being as clear and concise as possible, so that we don't end up with a module named mod TLR that does a whole lot more than just TLR, because things change as you go forward. So what are we trying to solve? Sorry, I am very tired this week, and I entertained myself with gifts while doing this. So I apologize. I forgot I did this. So patrons want to request a volume or issue of a series or title without having to specify or select the copy. This is very valued by public libraries and consortia that serve both public and academic libraries. And we all have this patron, I assume. So what's in scope? So we want to leverage and maybe expand title level request functionality to allow for title level requesting like behavior on serials and multi-part records. The solution will need to work for both single and multi-tenant configurations and cover all request types, so pages, holds, and recalls, and work for as many libraries as possible. I say all libraries, but there's always at least one that's a little kinky and it's not gonna, they need a little extra. So title level request changes with item level requesting. Hopefully will equal requesting serials and multi-part monographs without having to specify a copy. Also, please just jump in. Challenges?
Steph, can I just,
Yes.
maybe you saw my confused face when you said jump in. Can you go back to the last slide? So I'm confused about that last statement, right? That, or I just conceptually, I'm trying to get my head around serial requesting without specifying, and it's not really a copy, it's which volume you want. Can it
So
is that is my question clear? Because I don't.
your question is very clear. And
Okay.
what it is that there's kind of a middle layer between our instance records and our item records where we would kind of slide in a volume record. But because we don't have that with Folio, we will do item records for each part of a serial or multi-part anything. There are frequently in institutions, particularly public libraries or big national libraries, multiple copies of serials. So what we're trying to do is allow for the selection of a volume. And if there are multiple copies, not making staff or a patron select which copy it is. If they want to select a copy, they can do a straight, like if they know they want copy four because they left notes in the margins, they can just go straight for that item and request it, right? Did I answer your question?
Yeah, I think it's that middle layer of like,
It's an item
for me, they've
record as a
always been
volume.
either or. Either you select the particular thing you need, or you say you want whichever one. And so that's where I didn't realize you're talking about a step in the middle that allows the user to select the volume without saying a particular copy. Now I got it.
Yes. Yep. Especially if you think about in public libraries, music and DVDs. And seasons and copies of seasons and how those are broken apart. That's what I try to think of when I'm working on this. Any other questions or thoughts on this before I go forward? Okay. Challenges. So this is a lot of work. There are data inconsistencies. There are multiple ways to denote an item as part of a serial or a multi-part title. We catalog differently. We use different abbreviations and phrases. It can become problematic in, does V without a period mean the same thing as V with a period? So there's that data consistency to take into consideration. And then how do we create a way to request a volume by, oh, this should say item record. Sorry, by item record without having to choose a specific copy. Any discovery or OPAC system should be able to access this functionality. And there are many potential dependencies across Folio when we start to think about controlled vocabularies and updating records and all of those beautiful, delightful things. So, this is kind of why this feature's been kicking around for a while, or partly at least. Okay, so use cases. Maybe I should have put this earlier in the deck. This probably would have helped you, Susan. I'm sorry. So, a patron needs volume 52 of Science, but they don't care if it's coming from Library A, B, or the Annex. A patron wants season 3 of Walking Dead, but they don't care which copy of season 3 they get. Reserve staff needs an edition of Principles of Biology to place on reserves, and the title is cataloged as a series. I want book 9 of the Aeneid, but again, I don't care what copy I get. We have serials that are partially inventoried, but not all volumes have item records. And they should be requestable by patrons. This was, sorry, I forgot to add this one here. This was specifically a use case that Library of Congress put forward. And then the last one, which is my favorite, a patron needs volumes 33 to 83 of an inventory serial run. And they want to request through their discovery or OPAC without having to place 50 individual requests. I see a lot of smirking happening. I will not ask for thoughts on this, but I will ask if there are questions. Okay. So, how do we think we're going to approach this? So, first, we want to enable Folio to accept multiple item level volume specific requests from Discovery as one patron request. So patrons just saying, checking boxes, I want this one, this one, this one, and this one. And then it goes through and they don't have to do three separate request forms for it. But when Folio picks it up, Folio processes that bunch of requests as individual item level requests. And part of the reason for that is if we are creating volume level item records, for lack of better terminology at this point, then that item volume record will go through all of the request statuses. It will go through all of the item statuses. And as we know, not everything we request is available all at the same time. Then the idea is that all pieces of a multi-part work have an item record. So if you've got a serial with 96 volumes, each of the 96 volumes has an item record. Barcodes are not required. So if you have policies about not entering barcodes until the item is in hand, or something along those lines, that's not going to be a problem at all. Then we want to enable libraries to be able to create a controlled vocabulary that they can manage, to normalize the values we use to describe parts and volumes. So volume, piece, part, version, however you want to say it. And this is what I have thought of at this point is kind of a table where it says, you know, V, vol, vols all equal volume, kind of a thing. And then we update the database to transform those statements according to the controlled vocabulary mappings. Also big. Then we get to the part where we take a look at title level request functionality and see what we can use of it, if we can update it, add to it to allow for the selection of a volume without having to specify a copy. So a title volume request. And then lastly, because this is mostly for patron ease and use, we would consider updating requests and the mediated requests within Folio to support requesting a volume or a part. That is where we've gotten. And I broke it out into a PowerPoint because this is a very, very dense feature. And I thought it might be easier than looking at walls of text, but there's details about potential dependencies. There's some good discussion in the comments. And you can see that I've already drafted high-level features for this work. Some of them are investigations, like how are we going to create item records for all pieces of a multi-part work? What can Folio do to help libraries, and what do we need libraries to do? So those kinds of things. This is very early and high level. And the feature that we're working on architecturally now is allowing a patron to request multiple items through their discovery system as one request. So the Folio work is taking that delivery from OPAC or discovery and turning it into individual requests. And now I'm going to stop talking. I see there's some chat happening. Does anyone want to ask questions or voice their thoughts? Is this just totally overwhelming? Because that's okay too. Yes, I'm getting head nods. Okay.
Wondering how you usually get wrangled into the really, really hard tickets.
Just give it to Steph. She'll figure it out. I have to say,
Exactly.
though, a lot of how to approach this and breaking it down was Tim Auger's experience and knowledge of figuring out how to do this with other systems and libraries. So thank you, Tim, because I still might be circling the drain on this otherwise. I'm
Curious about the normalization. To me, the normalization of all the variety of ways that people describe volumes, parts, and all the la foreign language versions of those, is sort of overwhelming. But I'm wondering about the, I mean, there are so many fields in the item record, which I never, when we were migrating, I did not understand why we needed to have an enumeration and a chronology and a volume and a year. I was like, what are all these different fields? Which means that libraries are going to have migrated their data into those fields in lots of different ways. But the way I understood it, and wrapped my head around it was that essentially enumeration and chronology, I thought were intended to be the raw data without the, how, basically without the label. So sort of like if it's volume five, the enumeration is five, not VOL five, not V period five, but just five. So I'm not sure how normalized that is across implementations, but it feels like the variety of where all that data could live and the inconsistencies about how it has been entered might be a hard nut to crack. In terms of you, one would think it would be consistent within an implementation, but maybe not even that. So I'm curious about what you've seen so far.
It's not. Sorry, go ahead, Steph.
Nope. Thank you, Tom. I was just going to say that David has chimed in and said it's not normalized at Chicago either.
It is not even internally. Like again, we've got V, we've got vol, we've got whatever it is in French or German or, you know, and we certainly didn't, we did not have the resources to scrub all of those things to get it down to just the numerical value for the, you know, literally millions of records that have enumeration data. You know, you could, someone could, but we don't have the resources to.
Yeah, it's the same way with us. And I don't even know if Laura Daniels would probably know the best. I don't even know if there's an inkling to do that. We use enumeration and chronology, and we also use year, but we don't use volume. And we have whatever the volume representation is for English. If it's an English journal, if it is a, another language, then we usually use that representation. So, them dropping down to a pure numerical value, I don't think is on their radar, nor, yeah, nor do I think they'll ever do it. And there's in there about 15 different ways.
And from my cataloging experience in a couple of different libraries, and they were different types of libraries, it wasn't ever uniform within the institution. And then there's copy cataloging, and you pull a record in and you fix it to what your institutional standards are for what has to be there, and then you move on. So this is one of the reasons why this is no longer a feature, and it's an epic, because all of these are big pieces of work, but also discussion to tackle.
I'm kind of curious of how many institutions are deduping and how big of a request is this going to be later? Because I know we're going through and we're removing a lot of our duplicate copies for serial runs just because we're running out of room in storage. I do realize that it's also educational institutions versus public libraries, and that also doesn't take into account things like you mentioned, Steph, like DVDs, tapes, or other media.
I think that's
I'm
a.
also,
Oh, go ahead.
I was just wondering how other ILS and Discovery layers handle this. If Library of Congress has this as a need or a desire, how did they handle it previously? And can similar behavior be mocked in folio? Is there a wheel that we can copy rather than reinvent?
I can speak to that, Joe. No, excuse me. Yeah, it was Sierra. When I was there, we created a volume record. So, Tom, you were talking about linking, and that was the sort of thing that we did. There was very little information in the volume record, but it was a way to group the items that belong to a specific volume. It did require an update across the database using the sort of what Steph has talked about here with respect to implementing controlled vocabulary, but which is great, right? Because it meant that we could do a couple different things to sort of present those groupings of items or copies of a particular instance. And it also allowed us to, do the programming logic in circulation so that when an item came in, it knew which volume it was associated with, so it knew what copy it could offer up, if any. And that way a patron would get the correct copy of a volume. So yeah, there's ways to do it. And that's part of what's in here, what Steph presented. But I just want to like underscore like what was said earlier. And it does require sort of an understanding that your data is your data. It's not going to be consistent across other libraries, perhaps. But a lot of times, there is. And with controlled vocabulary, it's a way to sort of map that data. In other words, transform the data into consistency. Sorry, being applied consistently within a given. Not just within a given bib, but also across bibs and items. So it's definitely achievable. It's just it is not a small amount of work, as Steph is stating. Sorry, David, I don't know if you had your hand up before I started
No, I
chatting.
didn't. No. No, I'm just wondering again. I mean, I think again for at least a lot of academic libraries, I would second, Tom, that we're that there's a lot where this is less of a need at a title level for us. And, like if I were trying to solve this for Chicago, I would probably not be trying to put the burden of this onto Folio at all, because I would be looking at item level requesting for a serial title, and I would be trying to do something in our discovery layer to allow patrons to sol our main use case would be like, I want volumes 8 through 25 of this title, right? And I would, sort of say something where I would say, let the person just kind of like check box the volumes that they want and hit a button and have that, create a series of requests, a series of individual requests to send to Folio, and have that be how we handle it. Because for us, the use case of having multiple copies of multiple serial titles is increasingly rare. I mean, I will say, even with our law library, like we basically just agreed, if the law library has it, then we will get rid of the other copy. The law library can keep it. We are not keeping multiple copies of serials, full stop. I mean, we still have some because we can only work through it so fast, but.
And that's exactly what we're aiming for in the first piece of work, is to enable Folio to accept all of those, patron checkboxes and make sure that they go through appropriately in the request process. And that it's the larger burden, the larger work, I shouldn't say burden, I'm sorry. The larger work is definitely on the OPAC discovery layer.
So, a few different things. One, our OPAC already does this. But we do have black light, and one of our programmers did exactly what you're kind of describing. When someone goes in to select a journal, they're given a list of basically checkboxes that they can select multiple volumes. And then he uses the black light middleware to perform multiple requests to Folio on their behalf in the background. So I can tell you that works on the item level, kind of in line with what Joe was saying, asking about what other library management systems do. When we had Voyager, in fact, it was actually the vein of our existence. Voyager allowed you to place a quote unquote title level request on a serial, and what it did was place a request on every single issue in the serial. So that didn't work. I don't know. The more I'm kind of thinking of like a volume record, I kind of like it because I think it would give LTS the flexibility to label things however they want, but still allow things to be linked together in a way that circulation requests could figure out what it is. Because I'm also thinking too is like volumes are not always clean. Even monographic serials are not always clean. Sometimes they're bound with other things, or sometimes you have multiple volumes are split across two individual bound issues. So we might have volume 5, 1 through 6, and then volume 5, 1 through 12 in one library, and volume 5, which is all of them, in another library. And how do you represent that in this sort of system? Or we might have a single bound item that contains volumes 5 through 8 because they were so small that we were able to bound them together. So I kind of like, the more I'm thinking of that sort of situations and even things like media and other random weird stuff, I kind of like the idea of having like a middle sort of descriptor that allows staff to link things together as needed, but also using the controlled vocabulary to possibly go through and create those initial records in on the first run.
So just a little bit more on the control vocabulary. So I think the idea was to have a master sort of table. I mean, if we're talking some measure of like design, a master table which just basically does transforms, right? Like I think Steph said and someone else said, how do you within a given instance, it's usually or bib, it's usually not at least my experience. Spin that I don't see a lot of variation within an instance, but across instances, across bibs is where you see the differences, right? So the intent is not necessarily to update the entire database all at one in one fell swoop. The intention is to, apply the 80-20 rule where you're going to get 80% right off the bat because you know that most catalog records have a particular pattern that's been used. And you can kind of guess at those, designations, but you don't want to necessarily, you can't have the computer guess. So got to give it a little instruction. And, so being able to, use the control vocabulary such that it's both, could potentially be used for linking, quote unquote, or grouping, items together from the same copy, which I think, based on what David's saying, what I've heard from others over the years is that, you know, multiple copies is less and less of an issue in academic libraries, probably a lot more so in public libraries, as someone mentioned earlier. But it will bring a level of consistency to somebody who's looking at the data, right? Don't have to do a transform on the fly. You can do a transform in advance, and that helps, like I think I mentioned earlier, with respect to records, with respect to items being circulated and coming back in to the library and making sure that, you know, somebody has a hold on that particular volume, not necessarily the copy, so that they always get the soonest. Oh, sorry, they always get the item back the soonest that it can be made available to the patient.
So, this is a lot to take in, to say the least. I just want to let everyone know that there's a new folder for requesting multi-volume series and continuing resources in the RA SIG or the Resource Access SIG folder in the Folio Drive. So this is available to everyone. I just fixed this link so it goes to the right one, but all of the existing very high-level draft features that have been created are linked in this PowerPoint, and they are also set to define the Epic, which used to be our tiny TLR feature.
Have you all had a chance to go to MMSIG and chat with them, or are they on your list to chat with?
Not yet. We're still working to make sure that on the Folio end, we're able to ingest whatever Discovery sends us and make sure that it's broken out into individual item records. So we're still at the planning and scoping and architecting phase, but when we start to think more about the other features like the controlled vocabulary, we would definitely be heading to MMSIG as well. Yeah.
I'd be curious what they think, and also if they have any different ideas coming from other systems as well of how this could be leveraged or a different solution could be leveraged to help group these things together.
That's a good point. I will make a note of that. Thank you.
Steph, could you throw the link to the folder you created on our drive in the chat and I'll put it in the notes?
Absolutely.
Thank you. I did add the link to the Epic to the notes, so we'll have that also. Thanks. Are there other questions? Feedback or staff.
I'll just throw this out there. The one thing that keeps floating through my mind with the controlled vocabulary and having the records kind of meet a specific pattern is I kind of wonder if the onus could be thrown on the libraries to say, in order to use this functionality, you have to do a data cleanup on your side instead of working it in as a feature of Folio. I mean, I understand part of it is also, I'm assuming later on that as these records are being added or edited, the controlled vocabulary would be re reinforced at that level, that you would like these are the options that you can use, but the initial cleanup has to be done by the individual libraries.
Yeah, this does seem like there would it would be on libraries to do a lot of work to make this work. And I'm a little curious about how many libraries would have A, the stomach for it, or the need, or would prioritize the need for this. So I am curious about the prioritization of this work and thinking about impact and I'm just musing about that a little bit.
So I will say that Library of Congress has requested the basically they were like, we need a thin thread of this giant epic. This is what we can do. Where can you meet us? Kind of a thing. And this is how we've gotten to the point of ensuring that Folio can receive item level requests in bulk or in a group through discovery, whatever, and ensure that they are individual item records that are following the defined request path. But
So
everything else is, I know it's something that we would like to do, but it's I none of the other features have been slated for a release.
Yeah, this one, the multiple item request by selecting volume, like that seems like it has a lot. Like, I think a lot of people would want that. You have a 3-volume set, you want all 3 volumes. Like that, I'm all for. I think there's a lot of broad desire for that functionality. So I think I'm glad to hear that that's sort of the first pass. That
Yes.
definitely seems like something that lots of folks would be interested in. And right now, our discovery layer can't actually request more than one volume. Because once you've requested it, the request box goes, button goes away. So we would love this.
So I, we didn't have enough time to dig into this deeply, but it's a pretty detailed feature. If folks have questions, please feel free to reach out to me or tag me in comments. And if there are enough questions or concerns, or what do you mean you're doing this? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I am happy to come back and talk through it with everyone.
Great. So your ask, Steph, would be for folks to look at this particular one first to take a look, because this is the one that you think is going to be worked on first,
Yes.
5398.
Yeah.
All right.
It will be worked on first. It's a high priority for the Library of Congress.
Cool. So if folks can take a look at this and get back to Steph or comment on the feature, that would be helpful. It looks like it's still in draft. Is it close to having to being fleshed out though, or is it where is it at?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So I needed some answers from the Library of Congress, but I don't, they went live on July 30th, and then there was the July 4th holiday. So they've been a little busy. And I've just gotten some of those answers. So the technical folks that we're working on with this will get together and finalize the architectural approach, which will help us understand how much work it is and how to start breaking it out into stories.
Great. Any other questions for staff?
I guess one
Well,
question I have on this thin thread, are they envisioning that in their OPAC layer that somebody actually types in like 33 to 38? and the system interprets that? Or are they thinking a series of check boxes, or is that still kind of up in the air?
That is still up in the air. Their OPAC is locate. Mm-hmm. And the way I've been talking about it with locate is a multi-select option. We are working to get away from the free text boxes because that just increases the chance for error of mistyping numbers, of missing numbers, of someone reading it wrong. So it would be some sort of multi-select option, and that is still TBD. Mm-hmm. And I do want to assure everyone that both from the locate perspective and the Folio perspective, we are all focused on building this so that it is system agnostic. What we create with Folio should be able to be used by anyone, and what locate creates should be able to be used by any system as well.
That makes perfect sense. I was just kind of curious. As I said, like, we're doing something similar to this already through Blacklight, and I believe, so we're using a series of check boxes, and I believe what our dev did is he actually shows the check boxes are actually tied to the individual UUIDs of the items. And then when somebody selects, they'll go through and select what checkboxes they want. And when it hits submit, it just does a request for each one of those UUIDs using the information stored. So it just repeats a request over and over again. The downside with that is that you the window basically, or the back end, sits there until all those requests are done. So having like a way of sending all of those UUIDs in bulk to Folio, I wonder if that might work for locate as well as other systems.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, I think I think the solution would be very helpful for any, like the longer term solution, not the Library of Congress initial solution, but the longer term solution will be very helpful for any discovery application to work with. So that would be a big benefit, a longer term solution. But shorter term solution, you know, as Steph said, it's more like check all these and submit them in the back end. Sort either one by one or potentially in batch.
All right. Well, thank you, Steph, for all of your work on this, and Tim, apparently. And folks can comment on that ticket, and I've put all the links in our agenda for today, so you can find them there. Anything else before we wrap?
Just thank you, everyone, for listening and your thoughts and questions. And requesting is always a team effort.
All right. Take care, everyone. We will see some of you on Monday. Thanks.
Thanks, all.
Well,
thanks, Steph. Thanks. Bye.